word for word translation. Tasmin, in that Vaikuntha, Atitya, after passing through, Munayaha, the great sages, Sat, six, Asajamanaha, without being much attracted, Kakshaha, walls, Samana, equal, Vayasau, age, Ata, thereafter, Saptamayam, at the seventh gate, Devau, to Vaikuntha doorman, Achakshata, saw, Grihita, carrying, Gadau, maces, Para Ardya, most valuable, Keyora, bracelets, Kundala, earrings, Kirita, helmets, Vitanka, beautiful, Vishal, garments. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After passing through the six entrances of Vaikuntha Puri, the Lord's residence, without feeling astonishment at all the decorations, they saw at the seventh gate two shining beings of the same age, armed with maces and adorned with most valuable jewelry, earrings, diamonds, helmets, garments, etc. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sages were so eager to see the Lord within Vaikuntha Puri that they did not care to see the transcendental decorations of the six gates which they passed by one after another. But at the seventh door, they found two doormen of the same age. The significance of the doormen's being of the same age is that in the Vaikuntha planets, there is no old age. No one can distinguish who is older than whom. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha are decorated, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, with Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma, conch, wheel, club, and lotus. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Aganati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militangena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Gena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishwari And Brishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivazadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse again, Tasmin Atitya Muniya Sad Asajamana Kaksha Samana Vayasava Ata Saptamayam Devav Achakshata Grihita Gadao Parardya Keyura Kundala Kirita Vitanka Vishal. After passing through the six entrances of Vaikunthapuri, the Lord's residence, without feeling astonishment at all the decorations, they saw at the seventh gate two shining beings of the same age, armed with maces and adorned with most valuable jewelry, earrings, diamonds, helmets, garments, etc. Speaking today, anyone remembers I gave class the other day? Anyone remembers what the title of that class was? Vrindavan, yes. And we explored Vrindavan and different ways that Vrindavan can manifest. So today we're going to speak about Vaikuntha. So this is a very important topic which is being discussed here. So there are 4 points that we will cover. 7 gates of Vaikuntha, variety in Vaikuntha, agelessness in Vaikuntha, and eagerness to achieve Vaikuntha. So the first topic is the 7 gates of Vaikuntha, which is mentioned in this verse and also Srila Prabhupada mentioning in the purports. So it is not so easy to find out so much about these different gates, but different acharyas explain different things about the 7 gates. But first we'd like to take a moment just to describe for those who aren't aware of exactly where Vaikuntha is, or how it functions or how it looks. We can see from this picture, anyone knows where this picture is originally from? I think it's kind of here. Where is this from? It's not exactly that one, but that is definitely a copy. The original picture was on the Bhagavatam. Yes, Srila Prabhupada's copies of the Srimad Bhagavatam that he took to the West. He had this cover, and this cover shows, I don't know if you can you see my cursor on the screen? No. So there's a little dot down at the bottom there. That's kind of us. That's the material world. And then all the rest is the Vaikuntha world. So we know that there is Kunta and there is Vaikuntha. And Kunta means place of anxiety or distress. And Vaikuntha means a place of, without any distress, a place of no anxiety or distress. So this is one of my favorite pictures, posters, always really helped me to understand exactly where I'm situated. So this is that little black dot that is one of the many universes. And in case you weren't aware, that's where you are. Like on the posters, when you go to the park, it says, you are here. So that's where we are, right there. We're on Burloka, and somehow I couldn't zoom it in anymore. But that's us, planet Earth right there. And there's a lot going on around us that we're not even really aware of. Although they just went to the moon, or really they didn't go to the moon, they kind of went around the moon, which I was a little confused, but I thought you were going to the moon. But anyway, let's not get into that subject. So here, there we are, planet Earth, and there are planets below us, 14 planetary systems. There are planets below us, planets above us, higher planets, lower planets, and we are in the middle planets. And above us, we see where the Karna ocean is there with Karna Dakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu's emanating unlimited universes. So we think our universe is the biggest, baddest, the greatest. We think we're the most amazing. But actually, there are unlimited universes. And we know this story of that Tamal Krishna Maharaj tells, where Srila Prabhupada was recognizing a little pride in him. And he started to describe how there are so many millions of universes. And he said, and in one of those universes, there is a planet, Earth. And on that planet Earth, there are so many cities. And of those cities, there's one city, Los Angeles. And in that city, Los Angeles, there are so many streets and different houses and different programs. But on all those streets, there's one house. And in that house, there are many people. And in that house with many people, there's one person named Tamal Krishna Maharaj who thinks he's something very great. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was like, Hare Krishna. He felt completely humbled. And it's like that. We don't realize the vastness of this world that we're living in. So this Karana ocean leads to the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of the Lord. And then we have the Kailash, where we have Sadashiv, not the Sadashiv who does service here. I mean, he might be, but he's Sadashiv Das. But Sadashiv, the eternal form of Lord Shiva, Parvati. And then we enter into Vaikuntha. So then we enter into Vaikuntha, which starts with a description calling it Aishwarya Dham. So this is the residence of Aishwarya or opulence. And we see that the Lord is there and he's generally worshipped in what mood in Vaikuntha? In awe and reverence. But often we refer to, of course, Vaikuntha as a place where Lord Narayan and his many expansions, as we see there are many planets on both sides of that. But actually, the entire region is called Vaikuntha. You know, just like we might say London. But when you know London, you know there are so many places in London. So like that, Vaikuntha is the entirety of that space. And Vaikuntha is considered three-quarters of the entire creation. And the material world is considered one-quarter. So like that. So this is Vaikuntha. We can see Lord Narayan is situated there with Lakshmi Devi. And above this is what is known as Madhurya Dham, which starts initially with the higher planet of Ayodhya, where Lord Ram is situated. Above that is Dwarka Dham. And then, of course, the topmost place is Goloka Vrindavan, which we discussed last time. Anyone has read Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Anyone? I can't recommend it enough. It is such an amazing journey of Gopakumar. And we're reading that with a group of devotees at the moment. And we've come to a point. I just wanted to share one section where Sanatana Goswami comments. He explains that persons firmly fixed in the practice of yoga are called hamsas. And those who have factually realized the self are called Paramahamsas. And Paramahamsas are liberated. But even most of them are still enjoying the remnants of their accumulated karma. Among all Paramahamsas, only a few are completely perfect. And of those perfected beings, fewer still have no desire other than the selfless devotional service of the personality of Godhead. The most rare persons have the sharpest intelligence and the gravest purpose. By the grace of the Supreme Lord, they understand how insignificant liberation is. They are called Mahashayas, wise souls. By virtue of their unbounded and unalloyed enthusiasm for bhakti ras. So when I read this, I realized, wow, I've got a long way to go. You know, I thought just getting to the Paramahamsa stage was good, you know. But way beyond that. So it's just like the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam Sahasreshu, that amongst many, many millions, thousands, hundreds of thousands of men, one may eventually know Krishna in perfection. So like this, this is the trajectory that we're going. And you can see, if you look closely, you might not be able to see it, but there's like a line that kind of jags like that. And that line is the Maha Mantra. That is our connection to the spiritual world. So like that. So the seven gates. So there is an understanding that each of these seven gates to enter into Vaikuntha, to get back to the spiritual world, is a gate that we as little jivas in the material world have to pass through in order to become purified enough to enter into the spiritual world, because Vaikuntha is the spiritual world. That is the spiritual world. And His Grace Mahaprabhu, he describes these seven gates very nicely. He says they're like security gates at the airport. Who likes going through security at the airport? Nobody, right? As soon as you put your bag on the thing, you think, dear Krishna, please don't let them, let that bag, you know, when it comes out the other side and it's like that split second where it can go to the left or it can go to the right, and you're like, let it go right. And when it goes, you're like, and you see how many bags are just waiting for you to have to wait through. So like that, he describes, it's like going through a security gate. And they're checking you, they're checking everything, and they run that little thing. Sometimes they take that do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and then they're like, go back. So it's like that. So this is what's happening at the security gate, that the four Kumars have come to the seventh gate, and they meet these two security guards, and they're holding mace and different jewels and so firmly decorated. But they have one job, and that's to make sure that disqualified people don't make their way through. But before that, there were six gates as described. So it's described that each of these gates represents a different anartha. And so the first one is kama, or desire, controlling worldly desires and learning to let go. So this is kind of the lesson that we need to learn to get through the first gate. So as we go through this, we might realize which gate we're stuck at. For me, it's probably number one. So I'm still like not even going to get through the first gate. Krodha, anger, controlling anger and cultivating patience. Anyone here from time to time has difficulties with anger? I'm sure none of you will raise your hand, but inside you're like, don't talk about anger. Lobha, greed, overcoming greed and attachment to material possessions. I'm sure everyone here is completely renounced. Maharaj is here. We have the personification of renunciation. Moha, delusion, releasing false beliefs and emotional attachments. Mada, pride or ego, overcoming pride to achieve humility. Matsarya is jealousy. Again, I'm sure no one here has ever been jealous of anyone else. Eliminating envy in comparison with others. And then finally, the second gate, or the last gate, seventh gate, is ahankara, false self. And this is finally dissolving that false ego and eventually not merging exactly, but merging in divine service with the Supreme Lord. So actually everything that's happening to us day in and day out, anyone here ever has difficulties in life and wonder, why is this happening to me? Anyone feels like that sometimes? Yeah, no one. Okay, nobody raised their hand, so God bless you all. Thank you. You're already through the last seventh gate, so I must be in Vaikuntha too. Haribo! I've joined all the Vaikuntha bossies. So yeah, everything that happens to us is simply an opportunity for that false ego to be eradicated. And actually, oftentimes it may feel like, God, I'm being crushed. You know, but actually, the only thing that's being crushed is the false ego. That false impression of who we are. And like Prabhupada said, when one gentleman said to him in India, that your Western disciples are like, anyone remembers this analogy? He said, your Western disciples are like coal. Maharaj used to be a coal miner, right? Yeah, coal, like coal. You know, it's black and dirty. And the more, he said, the more that you mess with it, the more dirty you become. And he was speaking to Prabhupada directly, and he said, your Western disciples are just like coal. And they were all sitting there because they were sitting with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes, you are correct. And they were like, God, Prabhupada. And he said, they are like coal. He said, but I am applying pressure. And under pressure, coal becomes diamonds. And the man was defeated, and all the devotees said, Haribo! So we're all hoping to become diamonds. But the process of becoming a diamond means that we're going to have to undergo some pressure. Who likes pressure? Okay, God bless you. Thank you. Good thing the curtains weren't open right there. Of course, Queen Kunti, she plays for distress again and again because she knows when times are difficult, then I really call out to Krishna. When times are good, somehow or other, we just think, oh, it must be me. Must all be me. So like this. So this is the classification of the seven gates. And Actually, Jiva Goswami, he also describes these seven gates as representing the seven stages, starting with Adaushada. So he says it's faith, association, practice, clearing of impediments, nishta, steadfastness, ruchi, taste, and asakti, attachment. So leading up to bhava, he describes them like this. And we see the Jai and Vijai, they're not simply just blocking the entrance to the four kumaras, but they have a service, and that service is to ensure that only those with pure, unalloyed bhakti can get through that seventh gate, through that last gate. And it's a really interesting pastime. I really wanted to dive into that because it's one of my favorite pastimes from the Bhagavatam. But we see that actually the four Kumars, they were not ready to pass through that seventh gate. Why? Jai, Shishi, Radha, Gokula, Nanda. We're all passing through the gate now. Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Shishi, Gorni, Tai, Ki, Jai. Say again, Govinda Prabhu. Absolutely beautiful. Yes, they still had impersonal inclinations. They were what's known as Brahmavadis. They were attached to the impersonal. They weren't Mayavadis, but they were Brahmavadis. And they couldn't enter because they didn't really have attachment to that personal form. And we can see that subtly, we can notice that as they were passing through the previous six gates, they were unattached to the details. And it can be like that. And I don't know about you, sometimes when the curtain's open, the music is playing, and I'm kind of just like, mung. But when you go into the detail and you start with Krishna's lotus feet and you see, you can count the tulsi leaves that are attached to Krishna's lotus feet, and then you can notice the color and the garland, the positioning and the beads, and then the bracelets, and then the decoration on the turban, and which flute is he holding, and which cane does he have today, and you get into the details, and you could just be absorbed for hours, observing, just gazing at the Lord. But they were impersonally affected. But they were purified because of this pastime, because as soon as the Lord came through the gates of Vaikuntha, he came out to them. That's how important, and he describes how important his devotees are to him, especially the brahmanas. But he came out to him, and what was it that transformed their hearts? The aroma of the tulsi leaves. And it's interesting that Shukadeva Goswami, in the verse that I spoke on previously, he mentioned how in the Vaikuntha planets, the Lakshmis are offering tulsi regularly to Krishna. So like that to Lord Narayan. So like this, when they smelled the aroma of the tulsi, then it entered into their nostrils and it purified their hearts. And then they were standing face to face with the Supreme Lord, and their hearts were melted. And that was their qualification. So actually, Jai and Vijay were doing their job, although there's lots of backstory to that. But anyway, so variety in Vaikuntha. So this was mentioned in the purport. And it says that some assume different forms at different times with all kinds of ornaments, bodily features, and ways of acting, all exceedingly attractive. But Briya Bhagavatamrita explains very nicely that, you know, sometimes I know for myself, I used to think, oh, Vaikuntha, everyone has a form like the Lord, or everyone has a form like Lakshmi. And that's just the way everybody and everything looks there. And immediately I was thinking, well, that must be pretty boring. Like everybody just looks the same. And we heard, like we'll discuss in a moment, about age. You can't tell who's who because everyone's the same age. Everyone looks the same. It's kind of like, that sounds like quite a boring place to be, right? We might think like that. But Briya Bhagavatamrita explains that some appeared as humans, some as monkeys, some as demigods, some as demons or sages, and some bore the signs of person initiated into the behavior of the Varnashram system. All of this was there when Gopakumar entered into Vaikuntha. He was having darshan of all these different personalities. It wasn't just like everyone looked the same. So there was also variety and diversity. And Narada Muni is explaining and describing all of these things. And he's saying that some look like Indra, Chandra, or other... Sorry, this is Gopakumar explaining. Some look like Indra, Chandra, or other demigods. Some had three eyes, or four heads, or four arms, or eight, or 1,000 faces. The residents of Vaikuntha transcend everything material, and for persons within the material creation, the manifold glories of those residents and of the Vaikuntha world and its master are beyond analogy and beyond the power of words to describe. So like this, Gopakumara is also giving us darshan into the spiritual world, into Vaikuntha, helping us to understand that it's not just this blanket of persons who look exactly the same. But he also describes that each of those personalities can manifest any form that they like. And all of these forms are being manifest simply for the pleasure of the Lord, for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. Because this is one of the topmost primary qualifications to enter into the spiritual world, is that our only interest is the interest of Krishna, pleasing the Supreme Lord. So like that. So we can see that there is variety also in Vaikuntha. Agelessness in Vaikuntha. Yes, amazing. As soon as you read this, you think, yeah, we don't have to get old anymore. Anyone here who's feeling like getting old kind of is not so nice? I was going to use a different word then. Yeah, getting old. And yeah, it's like hard to sit, like sitting cross-legged anymore becomes a problem, you know? Standing up for too long becomes a problem. Doing anything for too long becomes a problem. Actually, life just becomes a problem, one big problem after another. So all of you who are young, raise your hands. God bless you. Stay young, you know, as the prayers of King Kulashekar, you know. May you stay young forever. But fortunately, the body is just a temporary vehicle, and that will eventually go. We're not looking forward to that necessarily. Maybe some of us are. But the body eventually withers, fades away. And who are we then? We're the spirit soul, that ageless, timeless, as Krishna is Navayovana, ever youthful. So Srila Prabhupada explained in the purport that the significance of the doormans being of the same age is that in the Vaikuntha planets, there is no old age. So one cannot distinguish who is older than whom. So we may experience in the material world that sometimes we pass judgment on younger, older, or different people who are of different classifications or varieties. But in the spiritual world, that doesn't exist. Srila Prabhupada explains further in the purport to 325.38. In the material world, the influence of time destroys everything. But in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, there is no influence of time or the demigods, because there are no demigods in the Vaikuntha planets. Not the real demigods. There may be people manifesting as demigods, but they're not the demigods, because the demigods here are controlling all of these different aspects, specifically, and also the depletion of time. And what is it that they say about the spiritual world? That time is conspicuous by its absence. And in the material world, we say the time flies when you're having fun. You don't even notice the time has passed so much. Devotees sit for hours in kirtan, dancing and chanting, and then they realize, oh my God, so much time has passed by. Of course, that doesn't always happen in Bhagavatam class. Usually people are looking at their watch like, what time is breakfast? Or they're fighting to stay awake. That's not happening here with all of you, but like that. So time is conspicuous by its absence. And then Srila Prabhupada also further explains, absent among them are faults like envy, and their innate good qualities ever shine forth by the thousands. So this is a description of the atmosphere of Vaikuntha. And that atmosphere of Vaikuntha, as we were discussing the other day about Vrindavan, Vrindavan isn't just a physical place in this material world, and it's not also just the spiritual world. It's actually ultimately a state of consciousness. So this Vaikuntha atmosphere, Srila Prabhupada describes here, the superficial appearance of superior and inferior classes among the residents of Vaikuntha cannot cause dissatisfaction there, because the Vaikuntha Vasis are all faultless. Won't that be wonderful to be with people who aren't filled with faults? Because right now I'm just surrounded by idiots, right? I've been reading a book recently called Surrounded by Idiots, because we have this tendency to think we're in the center and that we know everything and everything that we think is right. And anyone who doesn't think the same way as us, they're probably an idiot, right? So it's like that. So I'm sure none of you think like that, but unfortunately, I'm affected by the false ego. So they are never affected by jealousy, the inability to tolerate the superiority of others. And I'm sure none of you have any problem with tolerating the superiority of someone else because they're not superior, right? Because no one is superior. That's easy. They never quarrel. They never disrespect anyone. Dear Lord, please let us go to Vaikuntha quickly. No quarreling, no arguing, bickering amongst themselves. Rather, they are eternally full in all good qualities, including friendship, humility, and respect. And Prabhupada continues, all this enjoyment, however, never degrades the Vaikuntha devotees from the mode of pure goodness, because they are perfectly fixed in the loving service of Lord Narayan. So even though there's so much opulence there, Aishwarya Dham, there's so much opulence, but the devotees, the residents of Vaikuntha, those who are in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, which can be all of us, each and every one of us, we can generate this space by imbibing these different qualities and not being enamored or attracted by the opulences of this world, which are petty in comparison to the opulence of the spiritual world. And the final point, as time is passing, is our eagerness to achieve Vaikuntha. How eager are we? So Srila Prabhupada says in his purport that the sages were so eager to see the Lord within Vaikunthapuri that they did not care to see the transcendental decorations of the six gates which they pass by one after another. So Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, when one is sufficiently eager to achieve success in devotional service, that eagerness is called samutkanta. This means complete eagerness. Actually, this eagerness is the price for achieving success in Krishna consciousness. So we have to be eager. And if we're not eager, we have to pray to become eager. And if we're not willing to pray to become eager, we should pray to become, to have the ability to pray to become eager. Everything has some value, and one has to pay the value before obtaining or possessing it. It is stated in Vedic literature that to purchase the most valuable thing, Krishna consciousness, one has to develop intense eagerness for achieving success. So we have to be eager. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that devotees of the Lord, they should desire to work twice as hard for Krishna consciousness as they ever did for acquiring money in the material world. I don't know about any of you, but when I used to work, I was very eager to acquire money, and I was willing to work very long hours in order to achieve it. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, you think, oh, can I have some extra sleep? Can I just sit and do nothing for some? We may think like that because we think we come to spiritual life, it means now I get to be on vacation. I worked hard, but now I get to be on vacation. But Srila Prabhupada's mood was that we should be twice as eager in spiritual life for Krishna consciousness as we are in material life for acquiring material assets, material perfections, so like that. So that's something we can look at. How eager are we in Krishna consciousness? So in conclusion, we can test ourselves with these different topics. How many of the gates have we passed through, or would we also be stopped by the security guards? That was the question I asked myself, and I realized I don't think I'm even at the airport yet. So I'm just hoping to pack my bags correctly at some point so I don't get stopped. Are we ready for the variety of personalities, or do we still want everyone to be just like me? Do I just expect everyone should act exactly the way I act, or the way I want them to act, at least, like that? Do we still quarrel and disrespect others based on material assessments? Probably. I definitely do, unfortunately. And finally, how enthusiastic are we to see the Lord? You know, I would say one of the most enthusiastic places I've ever been where devotees are coming to see the Lord is in Jaipur. And if anyone has been there, like Mangalarti time, I was like walking. Yeah, we're going to be on time. And like this old lady in a Zimmer frame ran me over. She's like, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda. She's like rushing by. People are just like, do, 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 do. And I was like, well, these people are eager. And then I immediately thought, let me also run. You know, it's like to get to see the darshan of the Lord. You know, it's like, how eager can we become to be in the association of devotees, to chant the holy names? I give this example a lot. Wouldn't it be wonderful to like wake up before the alarm or before the bell or whatever happens to wake you up, and you wake up and you're like, yes, another day in Krishna consciousness. Another day I get to chant the holy names. Where are my beads? And like the first thing you reach for are your beads, you know? Maybe there's an Achaman cup there too. You touch Achaman, you touch water, and then you're like, Hare Krishna, 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 you know? But instead, most people, they're like, and like drool out the side. They hit the snooze button, and then they pick up their phone at best and see what messages have come from me. Who logged in to who? Liked me on Facebook, who did whatever. We start looking at this, the light and the darkness, like, and then you wind up like 25, 30 minutes later, finally getting up or getting out of bed. So this is, we're eager for many things, but probably not really are we so eager to see Krishna. So anyway, it is 8:30. I will finish there. If there's time for questions or reflections, then we can have that. If not, then we can be eager to go and have prasadam. Haribo! Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anything, Maharaj, any corrections, chastisements? Okay. Anyone? Okay. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Jainita Gauda Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.